There's somebody in here today and you're under fire. You've lost your job. Listen, don't panic. Run to the spirit realm. Run, David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen their seed begging bread. And you hold on to what God said and watch what God does. Well, welcome as we continue our series on the armor of God and how it relates to your victory in spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6 lays out these pieces of armor that are critical to God giving you the victory you so desperately desire. And today we're going to talk about the footwear of your victory. It's called the footwear of peace, how God's peace confirms your direction as you move toward your victory. A lot of times people do not understand how to put these shoes on. And we're going to put these track shoes on so you can start moving to the victory God has in store for you. So let's get to God's word and understand how to climb this hill with the right kind of shoes so that we can have pursuit of victory. This is a day of shoes. There are shoes for everything. There are dress shoes. There are casual shoes. There are a million kind of athletic shoes. There are shoes that you put on your feet appropriate to every occasion. I am sure most of the ladies in here have a wardrobe full of shoes. Shoes all over the place, designed to adorn your feet. Guess what Paul wants you to know? Paul says in verse 14, there are shoes that if you wear them and don't take them off, will address a major issue of spiritual warfare in your life. He says in verse 15, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shod means what you have on. He says on your feet ought to be some footwear, and this footwear is preparation for the gospel of peace. The Greek word for preparation means readiness. You will be ready for the devil if you got your shoes on. You will be ready for his attacks if you're wearing your shoes. He says, if your feet are shod, you will be in readiness. You will be prepared to deal with the enemy, but you got to have your shoes on. Now, to understand why he is saying this, you have to understand that the Roman soldier had what all football players have, they had cleats. They had spikes that emanated out of their shoes, and the purpose of the spike in the Roman soldier's shoe was to give him sure footing. It was to keep him from going James Brown, slipping and sliding. It was to keep him mobile. It was to keep him stationary in battle and in conflict so he was not easily knocked over. So he was not evilly dismantled, because the spikes that came out of the bottom of the shoe gave him sure footing when he was under attack, because we're talking about spiritual warfare. So when the Roman soldier was under attack, the spike, the clique, would give him footing so that the enemy would not knock him down, knock him over, would not remove him from his place of stability. When he says have your feet shod, he is talking about positioning yourself in a stationary position so when the devil comes, which he calls the evil day in this passage, he can't knock you over. He can't knock you off of your feet. He can't knock you out and knock you down, because what you have on you is stationary. It has sunk itself in deep, giving you a stationary position or sure-footedness in order to keep him from knocking you over. Many people here this morning knows what it is. I know what it is. You know what it is at various levels to be knocked over by the evil one. You've been knocked over. Your circumstances have knocked you over. Your situation has knocked you over. Other people have knocked you over. Your finances has knocked you over. Your job situation has knocked you over. It has removed you from your place of stability. Your sure-footedness has slipped. You have slipped and slid because you were not able to hold on to the turf. He has told us over and over again, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. He now tells us in 15, you can't stand firm without shoes on. You need shoes on. You need shoes with cleats to hold you steady when you're under attack. So what he wants to do is create, here it is, stability. He wants to create sure-footedness. He doesn't want you sliding. He wants you steady. He wants you holding on to the ground. He wants you solidified in the turf. He wants you holding on under attack, because this is a war frame, under attack. I wish I could tell you, now that you know Jesus, you won't be attacked. But that's a lie. We know it's a lie. Ain't nothing but a lie from hell. Because sometimes you haven't seen hard till you met Jesus. Because once you meet Jesus, you are now under attack. Now let me tell you the essence of the attack, and we'll deal with the shoe that you're supposed to be wearing. The essence of the attack of the spiritual realm, Satan and demons, the essence of the attack is to keep God's purposes, will, provision, blessings from being manifested in your life. The purpose of his war, now that you're saved, he can't take away your salvation, but he can sure make you a miserable Christian. So since he can't take away your salvation, what he does want is to keep your salvation from working for you. Now, he can't keep you out of heaven, but he can make you have hell on earth by keeping what has happened to you when you accepted Christ from being manifested in your reality. So that's his goal in spiritual warfare, to keep you in defeat and to keep you playing defense. He now says, put on some shoes, and these shoes are, or is, the gospel of peace. He says, the shoes I want you to wear under attack is the gospel of peace. Let's talk about peace. All of us know the opposite of peace, anxiety, worry. That's the opposite of peace. So if you don't know what peace is, if you know what worry is, not doing that. That's peace, okay? The biblical definition of peace is calm and tranquility of soul. Peace is calm and tranquility of soul in the midst of difficult circumstances. Let me give you that definition again. The biblical definition of eirene, the Greek word for peace, is calm and tranquility of soul despite external turmoil. Biblical peace is when everything is wrong. There is thunder and lightning and the winds blowing and circumstances are against you and nothing looks right and you're still singing. It's when nothing should be creating a song and you still have a song. It's when there is tranquility on the inside despite chaos on the outside. It's when things are at ease when trouble is all around. You don't know whether you have biblical peace until things are not peaceful. The only way you got biblical peace as opposed to peace that anybody would have when everything's okay is because all hell is broke loose and you're still singing. Guess what the Bible calls that? It calls it a peace that passes understanding. In Philippians chapter 4, he says, the peace that God gives is a peace you don't understand. And the reason you don't understand it is because based on the situation, you shouldn't be peaceful right now. So why am I singing when there is no song? Why am I calm when everything's chaotic? Why can I be stable when everything around me is trouble? Because God has given me a peace that passes understanding. Because I don't even understand why I'm singing right now. So nobody else understands why I'm calm right now. Nobody else understands why when I lost my job, I didn't lose my mind. Nobody else understands why when there's no money in the bank, I'm still praising the Lord for his provision. Nobody else understands why the doctor gave me a bad prognosis and I'm still laying here blessing the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, I'm blessing his holy name. Nobody else understands why when my world is falling apart, I'm not falling apart with it, because you got a peace that passes understanding. That's peace in the Bible. Okay, now let me explain something here. If peace is not your normal way of operating, you're out of sync spiritually. Let me say it another way. If worry is your normal way of operating, if worry is your modus operandi, if anxiety is how you roll, you just go from one worry to another, one anxiousness to another, and that's how you roll. You're not wearing your shoes. You're going out with no shoes on. You're supposed to roll with peace, not roll with worry. So the mere fact that worry, now everybody has moments of worry because we still live in our flesh, but I'm talking about what's normative for you. Is peace normative or is worry and anxiety normative? If worry and anxiety is normative, then that means you are not wearing your shoes. But don't worry, because I'm going to tell you how to put your shoes on and how to tie them up, okay? But I just want to get this straight. Peace is to be the normal ruling operative program in your life. John 14, verse 27, Jesus is getting ready to go into a very non-peaceful situation and get ready to be crucified. Guess what Jesus says on his way to be crucified? He turns to his disciples in John 14:27, and he says, peace I leave with you. He says, and then he goes deeper. He says, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives you peace. See, the world can give you peace momentarily. Okay? The world can give you peace in the form of a pill. Give you pill popping peace. Okay? The world will give you pill popping peace. The world will give you peace in form of an ejection. Okay? The world will give you peace in form of Prozac. The world will give you peace. Okay, you know, the world will give you peace in form of entertainment. If I get entertained, then for 2 hours, 3 hours, I want to think about how miserable I am. So the world will give you peace. But here is the difference between the peace God gives and the peace the world gives. The peace the world gives is outside in. It's something they do outside that you put in here that makes you feel better temporarily. Jesus says, that is not the peace I'm talking about. Peace I leave with you, and the peace that I leave with you will be my peace. And what kind of peace do you have? Peace that can even handle a cross. He says, that's the kind of peace I want you to have. And that's the kind of peace I want to be normal for you. Not showing up every now and then. Worry should show up every now and then. Anxiety should show up every now and then. Peace you're supposed to roll with as long as you leave your shoes on. How do you put the shoes on, tie, lace them up, and don't take them off? He tells you, have your feet shod with the preparation, here it is, of the gospel of peace. Peace that Jesus is giving away, he says, is in the gospel. So to understand the peace that Jesus is talking about, you got to understand the gospel. So let's go back to the gospel. The Greek word for gospel is the word euangelion. That's how it's pronounced. Euangelion is simply translated good news. So I got some good news for you. The good news of peace. We all know that the gospel refers to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ as our substitute for our sins. We know that. We know that. And we know that when a person trusts Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins and for the gift of eternal life, they are forgiven for time and eternity for sin. We know that. Okay? And that means we are saved or born again. You either don't believe or understand the gospel. or I don't believe or understand the gospel. And here's the problem. Most Christians apply the gospel only to what it takes to get to heaven. See, we only apply the gospel to getting saved so that I don't go to hell and I go to live with Jesus Christ forever. That's just a part of the gospel. The gospel has a bunch to do with earth. I love Romans 5, verses 5 to 10. Read it when you get a chance. Don't turn to it now. But he says, you know, when we were sinners, Christ died for us. But then he says, if we were saved by his death, how much more shall we be saved by his life? In other words, we're saved for heaven by his death. But he says, when he rose from the dead and went up to heaven and seated on the right hand of the Father, he's delivering you for life. We know the gospel because of the death. What we have missed is the gospel of the life. All right? Now, I do want you to turn here. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Okay, here is where we're going to go deep sea diving here. Now, verse 23 of 1 Thessalonians. Now, may the God of peace, did you hear that? Now, may the God of peace himself, oh, I love that word himself. It means God with nobody else's help. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read that again. May the God of peace all by himself, sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, here we go. When you accepted Jesus, you were justified. That means God declared you righteous, and now you got a free passport to heaven. But the rest of your time on earth is being sanctified. That is being transformed in your soul. He says the God who gives peace does it as part of his sanctification process. And the God who gives peace, who does it as part of this part of the gospel, the sanctifying part of the gospel, does it, here it is, from spirit to soul to body. And the order is everything. He does not do it from body to soul to spirit. He does it from spirit to soul to body. So if you're looking out here for peace, you're looking in the wrong direction. He does not start with the body, then go to the soul, then wind up with the spirit. He starts at the spirit, he says, the God of peace, and he moves to the soul, then he moves to the body. The reason why we can't find peace is we're doing it backwards, Christian soldiers. We're trying to find peace in the wrong direction. So if your body is malfunctioning, it's because it's got a malfunctioning soul. The mind is malfunctioning, the emotions are malfunctioning, and the choices are malfunctioning. A malfunctioning soul, which all of us have, leads to a malfunctioning body. Well, now, if I got a malfunctioning body and I got a malfunctioning soul, how is my malfunctioning body going to go out and fix my malfunctioning body when my body is malfunctioning? I can't fix me. I can only try to manage my mess. That's why New Year's resolutions don't last, because that's managing your mess. That is trying to get the outside of you to fix the inside of you. God doesn't work that way. He works, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, from spirit to soul to body. That's how he works. So here it is. So if I want my body to work right, I got to get my soul working right, because my body only does what my soul tells it to do. But the problem is my soul doesn't work right. My soul has been affected by the way I was raised. My soul has been affected by the sins I've committed. My soul has been affected by people who committed sins against me. And that's why my soul is one way one year and another way another year. That's why my personality is all up and down. And I got a problem in my soul, and my soul is telling my body what to do. So when my soul is worried, my body starts twitching. So when I get nervous and I stay nervous long enough, my eyes start twitching because my soul is damaged and it's telling my body what to do. It's called psychosomatic illnesses. That's what psychology calls it. Psychology, the study of the soul, is telling you can have psychosomatic illnesses. You go to the doctor and you say, this is hurting, that's hurting. They say, I can't find anything wrong. Well, what has happened is that the damaged soul is rubbing off on the body. And so the body is expressing the damage. And that's what happens when we lose our peace. The peace is not lost in the body. The peace is lost in the soul, so the body can't sleep. The peace is lost in the soul, so the body wants to stay laying down. The peace is lost in the soul, so the body gets mad and you get a temper and you cuss. See, you cuss and fuss and stay mad because you got an angry soul. It just comes out in your vocabulary. It's the angry soul, the unpeaceful soul, that's telling the body that you got to let everybody else know how miserable you are. So when you say somebody, you ought to stop cussing, you ought not cuss like a sailor, when their soul has not been fixed, all they can do is manage language. They can't be changed by it. So, but most people start at the body and hope they can do something with the soul, so they go for analyzing and counseling. So I'm going to save you $300 an hour right now. Okay, because this is free. May the God of peace, the God who gives him peace all by himself, sanctify you. The Greek word sanctify means to set apart as unique or special. So I'm talking about something special now. May the God of peace sanctify you in your spirit, soul, and body. So here's how it works. The goal of the spirit is to release into the soul the DNA of God. The goal of the spirit is to release into the soul the DNA of God so that the soul gets changed because of what's being released into it by the spirit. Then the goal of the soul is to release the DNA that came from the spirit into the body. So the body piggybacks off the soul because the soul is piggybacking off of the spirit. The reason why we don't have peace is that the soul is not piggybacking off the spirit. So the soul doesn't have that information to pass on. So the question is, how do I get the soul to piggyback off of the spirit so that I can have peace? Because I need to go to sleep. I need to be able to rest. I need to stop worrying. I need to stop twitching. I need to stop being so anxious. But my soul has got to get back to my spirit, not talk to my body. Okay, here it is. In order for the soul to grab the spirit, here it is, the soul must agree with the spirit. Okay, follow me now. If the soul disagrees with the spirit won't release anything. Because the spirit is perfect and it won't partner with imperfection. The spirit will only partner with the soul when the soul agrees with the spirit, which is why you must start with truth. You must start with truth because that's the way things really are. Despite how you feel, despite what mama taught you, despite what you learned in school, despite what you know all your life, despite what your posse thinks, if it doesn't agree with the spirit, it must be rejected. Once the soul accepts the outside, the inside will close up, clam up, and release nothing. So you could be searching for peace for the rest of your life, and all you will get is management on the outside and no change on the inside because nothing is being released from the spirit into the soul. Because the gospel only relates to what Jesus Christ accomplished, not what the doctor can prescribe. It only relates to what Jesus Christ has accomplished. May the God of peace send peace from the spirit into the soul so that it winds up in the body. So here's the only way to get peace. I'm talking about real peace, not fake peace. The only way is when the soul has to make a decision. When you have to decide which way to go, which road to take, how am I going to not worry in this situation? I just lost my job. There's no money in the bank. I got the facts. The facts don't look good. The facts are causing me to worry. I must then retreat to what the Spirit says. The Spirit says, I don't have any money in my pocket, but the Spirit says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now that's what the Spirit says in truth. My soul says, you broke as a skunk. My soul says, how you gonna pay your light bill? My soul says, they gonna kick you out of your house. My soul says, and that's a fact. The fact is I'm broke. The fact is my soul is telling me the truth. They're going to cut my lights out. It's not that my soul is wrong. It's that my soul doesn't have the truth. It just has the facts. But once my soul goes to my spirit and the spirit says the truth of God's word and the soul and the spirit agree, a release valve is opened up. And out of the spirit flowing into the soul is the peace of God that passes understanding, because last year this time I would have lost my natural mind. But the spirit has been able to release into the soul. So now my body can go to sleep at night knowing I'm going to sleep on the truth. And I can tell my soul, you're lying. You ain't nothing but a liar. And I'm calling myself a liar. You are a liar because God is the truth. There's somebody in here today and you're under fire. You've lost your job. Listen, don't panic. Run to the spirit realm. Run, David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen that seed begging bread. And you hold on to what God said and watch what God does. Some of you were fired from your job and you don't know where your new job is. Well, you run back to the spirit realm and say, God, you said that if a man doesn't work, he ought not eat. I'm willing to work so I can eat. So I thank you for the job you're already preparing that hasn't become manifest yet. You go back to the spirit realm. Every time Satan wants to remove your peace, you look down at your feet. You hold your ground. You connect with the spirit world so that you let this world know that that world is telling you what to do. And he will give you a peace that passes understanding.
Well, folks, I hope you have gotten excited about this truth of the armor of God. We hope we're explaining it in a way that's very practical while also being, of course, very biblical. And we hope you use it, not only hear about it. And to help you use it, we have a tool. It's called Prayers for Victory in Spiritual Warfare. It covers 30 different areas of prayers you can pray about specific areas in your life. And it goes through each piece of the armor in each one of the 30 areas so that you use the full armor in prayer about that area. So contact us right now, 1-800-800-3222, or log on to TonyEvans.org. And we will get you your copy of Prayers for Victory in Spiritual Warfare for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Anything you can give to support us ministering to you is what we would appreciate. And as an expression of our appreciation and desire to minister to you, we'll send you your copy of Prayers for Victory in Spiritual Warfare. Let us hear from you right now. We want to get this resource to you because we want to pray with you about the specific area of victory you are wanting. And we cover 30 different areas in this resource. Looking forward to hearing from you, 1-800-800-3222 or TonyEvans.org. We can't wait to hear from you because we can't wait to pray with you about your victory.